Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, you guys look great, and what a time of worship a minute ago. Wasn't that great? Michael just sent me a text, and he said, I just really felt like I saw angels up behind the screen just going up and down and just lingering. And, well, you could just sense the presence of the Lord. You may not always understand, but you certainly can sense when his presence is in the room. And it's always awesome, isn't it? We want to welcome those of you that are watching online with us today. We have people watching from everywhere. Father's House, would you give our online guests a welcome today? We're so glad that you've joined us today in this house. We are honored and we are blessed. Well, we're in this series called Around the Table. And oh, by the way, thank you for your birthday song. That was great. And the kind words, Andrea, that was so special. And that's exactly how I feel about you, that I'm glad God brought us together in this river called the Father's House, a Rock USA church. And we have 7 more weeks until we make the transition, and it gets sadder and sweeter at the same time. It's one of those times that gets sweeter, sweeter every day, but also reminding us that change is never easy, but it's always important because we're going to go to the next level. We're not going to stay where we are. We just stay in the comfort, but we're going to keep moving. Amen? So thank you for the cards, the gifts that are out there. And so far, I haven't got too much cat persecution, but we'll see. I know what to do with cat stuff anyway. Set it up on my shelf. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we can't pay. We can't earn. We can't do things to create when you come and sit. You said you would inhabit. You would come and sit in the praises of your people. And Lord, we just, we just sense your presence a minute ago and still yet here. We could just, after those great words of Anita and Andrea, we could just go home and say, amen, that was the word. But Lord, I believe you got a little bit more something for us that we need today. So I pray that you would anoint me, Holy Spirit, because without you, I can do nothing and say nothing worthwhile. I pray at the end of today, Lord, that you would be glorified more than anything else, that people walk out of this room and say, wow, I've been with Jesus. And Lord, that your church would be edified, built up, and encouraged, and the devil would be terrified in the name of Jesus. Well, we'll continue this series Around the Table. Around the Table, last week, Andrea did a great job with that. Anita, yeah, it was such a good job. I know some of you froze out last week and you missed it, so just go online and catch up. Anita and I had the privilege of being in Phoenix last week with Pastor Kevin, speaking at 2 of the rock churches that are there, and I did the same teaching. We're doing the same teaching at all 4 rock campuses right now, and so we're following along. When we talk about around the table, Andrea sat down and talked last week about the table, of how that the table has always been not just a place of sitting down and eating, but it's also a place of connection, it's a place of growth, and many of us grew up at a time when we sat at the table and we didn't scan on our phones or our iPads at the table, or we didn't watch TV at the table, but we interacted. We heard stories. We had questions. My daughter Kelly, I love what she used to do around the table. She would say, as a mother, we would visit, and she'd say, all right, tell me today what was the highlight of your life. Tell me today where God showed up in your life. And the kids would interact with her. And I thought, man, how special that is. But I'm afraid in our fast society today, with TV trays and multiple rooms and iPads and iPhones, that we've lost something about the connection. So this whole series is about family. It's about marriage. And you say, well, I don't have a family, but you do have a family. The scripture says he sets the solitary in a family. He set you here. Several years ago, I lost everything that I had. My wife left, my ex-wife left for the second time, and she went away and took everything that I had and lost my kids, lost my everything. And a friend of mine in Kissimmee, Florida, called and said, Terry, we're going to give you a ticket. We want you to fly down to Kissimmee to our church, and we just want to love on you. We don't want anything from you. We just want to love on you. So I went down there. I was totally isolated. I had no one. Denomination turned their back on me. And I just felt so alone. And I sat in the Howard Johnson's hotel that morning, and I opened up my Bible to that psalm passage that said, I've set the solitary, the lonely in a family. And the Lord said, I've set you in this family. This is your family. And that family nourished me back to life. That family loved on me. And at that family is where I met my beautiful wife, Anita, who loves me with all of her heart. I know that. And I'm so thankful. But I'm here to tell you today, just because we teach on family and you feel like, well, my family is not here with me, you have a family, and it's called the family of God, and here it's called the Father's house, and we say welcome, welcome, welcome home. Every table has a story, and some tables that we have are so polished that you're afraid to almost get anything dirty on it, right? And then some of our tables have shown a lot of life, right? Scratched, chipped, maybe a little wobbly, but the condition of a table tells us the story of a family. And there's some tables that are broken. But tables don't break with one moment. Unless you stand up on a ladder and just jump, you know. I might could do that and smash this table. But I'm talking about regular life. And it's the same thing with the story of our family and marriage and life. It doesn't happen because of one event. But we wear down our table and our family and our marriage by pressure. How many of you felt like you've been under some pressure this week, right? How many about neglect? Sometimes we just neglect. We neglect what's important to us. Or just carelessness. But the table also and our families can be reinforced by time, care, and intention. It doesn't grow accidentally. It grows on purpose. Our theme passage is in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. They'll be on the Sky Bible. You can follow along with me. And it starts out like this. Love each other. Say that with me. Love each other. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I love you. I love you. And it says, with genuine affection. Genuine affection. Take delight in, what does it say? Honoring. You know what honoring is? Honoring is preferring the other person over yourself. That's putting them first. That's honor. And love shows up in honor when we honor someone. So love each other. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I think the word love is often the most overused word in our vocabulary and not understood. We say things like, oh, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my husband. And then we'll turn around the next phrase and say, oh, I love my motorcycle. Oh, I love pizza. Oh, I love whatever team is playing tonight in the Super Bowl. I love them. And so love has somehow lost the power of what that phrase is, especially when it says love each other. The word just gets thrown around. But biblical love, which we're talking about today, isn't just a feeling. Say, not a feeling. It's something that we build and we fight to maintain. If you've been married over 2 days, you've had to fight to maintain love. And the longer it goes, the more you have to fight to maintain love. You can get distractions. The enemy would love to distract you because marriage is a picture of God's love for his church. And if he can destroy a marriage, then he's taken a swipe at the Lord that he can't touch the Lord in any other way. So we know that homes are not constructed on fleeting moments, but intentional words, choices made over the long haul. So today I want to talk about three ways that we can build a home with love. Number one, we must choose honor as an act of love. So if you're taking notes, that's number one. We must choose honor as an act of love. Romans 12, verse 10 says, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Honor is putting somebody else above yourself. When honor is present, and you can see it. I've walked into families, and you can sense that there's honor there. The husband honors his wife. The wife honors her husband. The children honor their parents. And the parents honor their children. You see, here at the Father's house, one of our culture beliefs is you honor. You honor up, you honor down, and you honor beside, all around. We give honor. It's not just something that goes up, but it's also something that we care. And when people sense that they've been honored, they feel valued. You feel valued. I hope you feel valued here at the Father's house. And when honor is absent, love begins to erode. Hey, think about something that you love that is very, very special to you. What would that be? Something you really take care of. Well, let me tell you about something that I love, and it's very important to me, and it's this ring. You've seen me. I've worn this ring a lot, and some of you think, wow, that's a big old honker of a gaudy ring. But you don't know what this ring really means. This ring, actually, Anita brought back. She went to South Africa with a mission team several years ago, and that's where she met Melissa. And she brought me back a gold Coogaran from South Africa. Beautiful. But she gave it to a guy here in the church. It's a master jeweler, Jack Blake. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Jack took this Coogaran, and he took a wedding band that he had in his shop, and he placed a Coogaran inside the wedding band, and then he began to mold and melt this entire beautiful ring around that Coogaran. And then Anita gave it to me. And so I cherish this ring. I value this ring. When I go home this afternoon and take it off, I don't just throw it in a door and a drawer and let it scratch. I have a very special place for it. I open the drawer. If I got a lot of smudges, like I've been putting my fingers on it, so I wipe it down. And I put it back in a little velvet liner where it is there because I don't want it to get scratched. I don't want it to get damaged. Not because it's not strong enough, but because I cherish it. I love this ring. And every time I touch it, every time I look at it, it says, somebody loves you. You matter. So in life, we should feel that way about our spouses, about our families, about the Lord, right? We should feel that way. But the sad thing is familiarity can remove honor from our home and in the relationship that we once valued. We start handling people that we should value carelessly. Sometimes we speak to our spouse in a way that we would never speak to a stranger. I just need to let the Holy Spirit sink that in just a little bit. Sometimes we speak to our spouse in such a rude, non-honoring, loving way that we wouldn't even talk to a person on the street that way because familiarity. It's sort of like somebody told me in between services, said, yeah, you know, you can just get so comfortable at being home saying, well, they know I love them anyway. They'll forgive me, and I'll just go on this way. But you see, if that goes over a long period of time, it begins to wear creases in the table, and the table begins to wear down. I mean, you would never dismiss people like some of you have dismissed your kids this week. Your kids came up to you, maybe in a time when you're just trying to watch, what do they call that? Curling. Yeah, that's an Olympic sport, if you can believe, curling. So you're watching that, and they come up to you, and you just dismiss them and get them out of the way. And slowly, without realizing, love begins to erode in your family. And the people that's closest to us that should deserve the best tone and not the worst moods begin to feel like they're not valued. But honor pulls us back. Honor reminds us that our family, our kids, our spouse, our relationships are people that we beg God for with tearful prayers. I mean, when I met Anita, you know, all these years, I remember when I first met her, I thought, dang, God, if you could let me fall in love and she fall in, I could fall in love easier, but she's above my pay grade. I mean, and when God gave me Anita, and she loves me with all of her heart. I know that. I never doubt that. Sometimes she doesn't like me, but she always loves me. But think about that. You were so desperate that you wanted to love that person. You wanted to marry that person. You were so desperate. You begged for God to give you that child, and he gave you a child. And you prayed so desperately, God, take that child back. No, 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 you didn't pray that. I know. But isn't it interesting how easy it is for us to mistreat the miracles in our midst? But spouses should become our greatest treasure. Children should become our greatest delight. Family should become something worth protecting. Listen to this. Write this down. You'll like this. This will be on the Sky Bible. Honor shields the love gifted to us by God. Honor shields the love gifted to us by God. Number two, set healthy boundaries. Set healthy boundaries to protect our love. Now, I just had a couple of verses that I was going to read, but while we were praying a while ago, I just felt like the Lord sent me back to the Word and said, no, I want you to read this all in context. Because I was going to read that passage, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, 5, verse 21, that says, you know, wives, submit to your husbands, all of that. But I felt like the Lord said, read it in context, and I'm going to read it in context here. Ephesians 5, and I'm going to read several verses, so just sort of stick with me. Channel 5, Ephesians 5, verse 22. Thank you, guys. You pulled that up. I just gave that to them 5 minutes ago, and they already got it. For wives, how many of your wives? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you wish you were a wife today? Okay, good. I got several. I won't ask how many of you are sad that you're a wife. We won't go that way. For wives, it's talking about loving relationships. For wives, this means being devoted. That word there also means being supportive to your husbands, like you are tenderly devoted to the Lord. For the husband, how many husbands? Raise your hand. Okay, great. How many of you wished you were a husband? Looking forward to today? Okay, good. We got hands, so we're moving that direction. For a husband provides leadership for the wife. Just as Christ provides leadership for his church as Savior and reviver of the body. In the same way, the church is devoted to Christ. Let wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. And to you husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. For he died, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the Word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious, radiant, beautiful, and holy, without fault or flaw. Husbands, here we are again, have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For you to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body, but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall lovingly hold to his wife, since the two have become joined as one flesh. Marriage is a beautiful design of the Almighty, a great and sacred mystery meant to be a vivid example of Christ and his church. So every married man should be gracious to his wife. Say gracious.
Gracious.
Just as he's gracious to himself. And every wife should be tenderly devoted. Say tenderly devoted. To her husband. That's God's design. Notice he's very clear. There's structure, there's roles, there's responsibility. Boundaries that he sets here are not to take advantage, but they're to protect us and keep us. Healthy boundaries keep parents as parents and children as children. Where there's no boundaries in a home, parents stop leading and the children start deciding and they become the CEO of the family. Well, what do you want? Would you like this? No. Would you like to wear this? No. Would you like to go here? No. Excuse me. Who's the leader of the family? Who's the CEO? I mean, when I was growing up, when it was time to church, it was not negotiable. I mean, you come on Sundays. We came Sunday morning. Sunday school, then church, and then Sunday night, and then Wednesday night. And then if you had a revival, it was every night. So when it was time for church, it's rolled away Sunday morning. It never was. My parents didn't say, okay, let's have a caucus. Do y'all want to go to church today? Or you want to stay home? It was never. It was a given. That's what we're getting. It wasn't misunderstood. That was who we are. And we're living in a world today, and parents, I know it's wonderful, and you want to give your kids everything you didn't have, but somewhere along, you got to give them structure. You got to be the person that steps up and says no when it's not a good time, and help them and correct them and love them. I mean, think about it like this. Imagine there's a playground, the most beautiful playground on a 6-lane highway. I mean, traffic is going everywhere. And this playground has bright colors, has new equipment, has slides, swings, climbing walls, but no fence. And it's like just cars are zooming by. No matter how loving you are as a parent and want your child to have the best of everything, you wouldn't say to little Johnny or Susie, go on and go play. No, you wouldn't say that. Not because you didn't love them, but because you saw danger there and you knew it was your responsibility as a leader, as a head of the family, to say, no, it's not that I don't trust you, but I love you too much to leave you unprotected. Families, when parents, when we begin letting the children become the directors of our life, we're simply saying, I'm leaving you unprotected, because God's method is there should be a husband, there should be a wife, and if you're divorced or separated, there should be the wife or the husband that stands there as the head of the family. Amen? We don't invent boundaries, we enforce them, and they're in here. And what I've learned a long time ago is that children and grandchildren watch you. They watch how you live long before they listen to what you're trying to tell them. So if we don't model love, if we don't model people respecting roles and respecting hearts and learning that no is a good word that you can use, then our kids, they have no idea. But they watch. And how you live your life not only affects you, but also your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I read the story a couple of weeks ago about Dr. Joshua Handelman. His wife's name is Winifred. He was a man that believed that life should be explored, not endured. He worked hard, but he and his wife made a bold decision. They sold their home, they shut down their practice, everything that was familiar they left, and they packed their entire family and they moved halfway around the world. They moved to South Africa. Not only did they move to South Africa, but they disassembled their airplane, single-engine plane, put it in crates, shipped it across the ocean to South Africa, and when they got there, they reassembled it on the other side. Not just for happenstance, but they said, you know what? We choose life that is bold and beautiful. Well, just settling into another country didn't stop that. They used that plane to make one of the most daring flights still recorded in history. They included one journey of 30,000 miles to Australia and back in a single engine plane without modern instruments, without radios, or without comforts. Newspapers of that day believed that it was only one of the private pilots who ever flew from Africa to Australia in such a single engine plane like this. But their expeditions weren't just a thrill for themselves. They were teaching their children things. They were saying that, look, life is worth taking authority and doing something intentionally. Well, from that legacy of the grandparents, their courage, their shared adventure, their grandson, it changed his life. By the way, his name is Elon Musk. He said, I learned something so profound that my grandparents weren't afraid to take risk, to build something larger than themselves and to step into the unknown. Elon later himself said, in hearing the stories of my grandparents and watching the slides of them moving and putting back the plane together, he said, their fearless pursuit with tolerance for risk and their willingness to go where others wouldn't go became part of my own DNA and has caused me to do the things that I've tried that people said would be impossible. Our example will always speak louder than our instructions. Our example will always speak louder than our instructions. And number three today, we must share our values to strengthen our connection. We share our values to strengthen our, what do we really value in all of this? Proverbs 26 and verse 4 says this, "Do not answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become what? Foolish as they are." 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Could I say to you today that not every conversation that happens needs a response? Right? Wise communication knows when to engage and when to step back. We don't have to participate in unhealthy patterns. And listen to this. You don't have to win every argument. You have to choose your battles. Is this really worth bringing discord, division? Wisdom chooses peace over right. Many homes struggle because there's not clarity. At the table is a place you can say, this is who we are. This is how we talk. At this table, this is how we handle conflict. This is how we honor God. Healthy communication flows from biblical-driven values. A few years ago, a man decided that he was going to throw out an old table that was in his garage. It had belonged to his parents, and it had been in their house for decades. And now the legs were loose, the surface was scratched, one corner was perfectly darker, permanently darker than another. It survived moves, it survived kids, it survived holidays, it survived arguments. It survived laughter, and it survived long silences around the table. Anybody had those? At some point, it stopped being the family table, and it became the extra one, the one you didn't see, the one they put in the garage. As he drug it to the curb, an older neighbor stopped by and said, "Where'd that table come from?" The man said, "Well, it was my parents, and they gave it to us, but it's falling apart now. It's not worth much anymore." The neighbor looked at the table, saw the deep scratches, saw the stains, and he ran his hand over the top of the table, over the gouges in the wood, and he smiled and he said, "You want to throw it away because you see damage. But when I look at this table, I see history." He said, "Look at that long scratch." He said, "Maybe that was a night when somebody stayed at the table too long because they had to work through some difficulties. And there, I see a faded ring. Maybe that was where tears were shed, but they weren't wasted. And over there, there's a scratch where it looks like the kids didn't want to go to bed." The neighbor paused and looked at the young man and he said, "Most things that matter don't look good by the end. They look loved." And the neighbor walked on. And instead of throwing the table away, the young man took it back inside. He tightened up the legs. He sanded the surface, but he didn't erase the scratches. He sealed them there. The table didn't become perfect again, but it became strong enough to make it another generation. That's what God wants to do in our homes. That's what God wants to do in our marriages. He doesn't want to say, "I can erase the past." But he said, "If you'll bring it to me, I can make sure the scratches don't destroy the table. They prove that somebody stayed when it would have been easy to leave." Today, the master builder isn't condemning what's been worn in your life, in your marriage. He's reinforcing it. Because love builds. It doesn't pretend that there were no damage. It says, by God's grace, the table is still standing, and it's not finished yet. And that's my word of encouragement to you today. I want to pray for those of you that today you say, in the middle of this, God spoke something in your life that, yeah, man, I need to be careful about that. Familiarity has creeped into our life, and, man, it hasn't been what it has. Would you bow your heads with me? Let me pray with you today. I know Holy Spirit has spoken to some of you today in very specific ways. And I just encourage you right now. Some of you are sitting here and you've been through tough times. You had a spouse that maybe cheated on you. You've done your very best to forgive them, and they've done their very best to forgive themselves, but there's still a big gouge in that table. And sometimes people try to ignore that. It's not ignoring that. It's just knowing God brought you through that and you didn't run. There's some of you that went to some real tight places and you didn't know how you're going to make it, but you stayed. You hung in there. There's some of you that are here today. Maybe you've just been shacking up, living with somebody that's not your husband or your wife. But when I read that story a few minutes ago where it said marriage is honorable, it's beautiful, it's expression of God's love for His church. That's how putting stuff in honor, and God wants you to put stuff in relationship and keep it in relationship with Him. As you continue to pray about where you are and what's going on in your life, let me talk to some of you that are here, maybe online, that you've never invited Jesus into your heart and into your life. You've gone to church all of your life. Maybe you know all the things about church, but you've never taken time to stop and personally invite Jesus into your heart and into your life. The scripture said there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, the price that He paid for our sins. Scripture says, for all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God. That means that there's no way that in my sinfulness I could ever draw near to God. I keep trying to get better, but I could never get better enough. So God realized that so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. He lived a sinless life. He kept the law perfectly. He went to a cross. He took your sins and my sins on the cross. Those sins separated Him from God when He cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" First time in His life He'd been separated from God, because you see, sin separates us from God. Some of you are sitting here today and you're feeling the guilt of sin and shame, because you've never let Jesus pay the price. You've never accepted the price that He's paid. So let me be very, very clear today. Church does not save you. Religion does not save you. One thing saves you, and that's the price that Jesus paid. There's only one way that I can be saved, and that's I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can be saved. That's what the scripture said. What does it mean, believe on His name? It means that I simply realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Church can't save me. Religion can't save me. All of my works can't save me. Only one thing, the blood of Jesus Christ that's shed on the cross. They crucified Him for your sins and mine. But on the third day, He rose so as many as believed on Him could be saved. If you're here today and you're unsure that you've ever invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, let me lead you in a prayer today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you feel bad. But in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and make eye contact with me and say, "Terry, would you include me in that prayer today? I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. Can I really know that?" Yes, you can. According to the scriptures, many as believe on Him will be saved. So if that's you today, or you need to rededicate your life to Him, in just a minute when I ask you to raise your hand, make eye contact with me, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So if that's you today, or those of you that are watching online, would you raise your hand right now and say, "Terry, include me in this prayer. Include me in this prayer. I want to know today without a shadow of a doubt that I have given my heart to the Lord. Today is the day that I want to know." Those of you watching online, just raise your hand. Put it in the notes there. I'm praying that prayer today. Thank you. Yes, I see a hand here. Others today, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Keep your hand raised. A friend of mine is coming to bring something to you right now. In the name of Jesus, yes. A gift that'll help you on the journey. Thank you. Yes, I see the hand over here. Others today, yes, right here to my right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Others today say, yeah, that's me. Include me today. Include me. This is beautiful. This is awesome. It says, all the angels in heaven, thank you. All the angels in heaven rejoice over one person who comes home. We pray that today in the name of Jesus. Let me lead you in a prayer. Let's pray this prayer together. Father God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I accept your price today that you paid for my sins on the cross. Forgive me, fill me with your Spirit, and as best as I know how, I want to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Church, would you celebrate with me today with those who prayed that prayer? Our prayer team is coming this morning if you need prayer before you leave, but would you stand? Don't rush out. Let me leave you with a blessing today. Our Celebrate Recovery ministry out there is having a sale, and I think they're going to get rid of everything. They said maybe 2 for 1 as you leave, a donation. Celebrate Recovery is for people who have hurts, habits, and hangups. That's all of us, right? And every Monday night, regardless of what it is, Christmas or whatever, they're here. And we have 50 or 60 people every Monday night getting healed of the hurts, habits, and hangups. So help them out with their ministry. Would you raise your hands? Let me bless you. Father, I bless those that are here today and those that are watching online with the power of your name. May you cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. May you lead them and guide them this week. May they understand what it is to accept your love and to walk in your love. And when they leave today, may we be carriers of your blessing. May we add value to people around us. May we add value to the people on our own home. May we love, honor, and cherish those closest to us in your name. Hey, don't forget, when I see you next Sunday, bring somebody with you. It's going to be great. We're going to be around the table again. God bless you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.